bilateral measures, in the language I use here, are created by inter-industry agreement, the kind of smoke-filled room discussions that go on. And they've got to involve all the interested parties. Sorry, actually the smoking's not so bad here. But all the interested parties have got to sign up for these. And that includes consumer groups and hardware manufacturers. And I suppose what's changed here is the IT industry's got to be involved. And they tend to not like this kind of approach because it involves, to be effective, governments interfering rather too much in what they do. Serial copy management, SCMS, is an example of this type, which I was interested to see Elector's name on the slide at the beginning. They've published a very nice little copy bit stripper. My kit arrived last week. We'll see how well it works. But they are so trivially circumventable that it's not really worth a candle. Moving on. License measures. They require the same kind of industry agreement, but on the rules, you know, what can you copy, when can't you copy. But then there's an intrinsic protection which uses some technology which is licensed, and that license carries a payload, which is the rules we agreed at the beginning. There are sure other people who can have a more eloquent description, but the DVD content scrambling system, CSS, works that kind of way. And although opinions vary as to how intrinsically strong it is, if you're going to try and circumvent it, you need to use a technology for which you need a license. So if you're circumventing it, you're breaching somebody's license or patent conditions. So that kind of makes some sense. Except for the problem of analog circumvention. There's a nice line in the film A Broken Arrow where one of the agents says he's lost a nuclear weapon. And the other guy says, a broken arrow. And the first guy says, well, he's not sure whether he's more frightened that they've lost a weapon or that it happens so often that they have a name for it. Well, this is such a big problem that we have a name for this as well. Copying onto analog media is basically not controllable. And indeed, our industry has said that for copying on traditional analog media, we're not going to try and do that. It's not worth the effort. The thought of trying to put analog copy control onto a $20 recording Walkman is not really realistic. But multiple generations of analog copying through, sorry, of digital media being copied through analog routes nevertheless provides a very high quality copy and gives us a problem. So using the line input on your digital recorder, you can get a fine copy. And maybe there is a solution to this, and the DVD video approach is to use macrovision, which is a unilateral measure. It may be that watermarking is a solution to this area for the recording industry. And I'm sure we're going to talk a lot more about that. I certainly hope so this afternoon. It's a very interesting area. But we say that recorders should look for and act on a copyright flag if rights holders insert that into their distribution media. What exactly the rules are for when they find it, it needs to be agreed, but one might contemplate rules that said you cannot copy this, or you can copy this for 30 seconds. We regard that as being fair use or fair dealing. Or some other set of rules. But there's certainly something needs to be done about it. But what about the other exceptions? I said at the beginning there were a series of exceptions of which private copying was only one, and there's libraries reporting current events, all sorts. Our view is that these can be dealt with by very sensible licensing arrangements, but they do need to be specifically licensed, because if, say, libraries have a right to circumvent the technical measures, then that will lead to the proliferation of legitimate circumventing equipment, and that will leak into the market, and that would be intolerable. And clearly, in this environment, I can't go without talking about professional equipment, and that clearly needs to be similarly partitioned from consumer equipment. So, with all those issues on the table, my market vision is that there's going to be a buoyant industry making a lot of music available at very competitive prices. What excites me to an extent is that there'll be no deletions because shelf space has run out. There'll be deletions because people are ashamed of their early works, but it won't just be a matter of the retailer not being able to justify selling it. It'll always be on a server somewhere. For the practitioners, the people, I guess, ORAS members and other participants in the industry, there'll be lots of work to do. And there'll be investment in new talent and new genres will be created, and we'll all go forward and be happy. But that's all dependent upon our ability to protect the creative content, and I think today's debate is a valuable step in the process towards deciding how that protection should be established. Thank you.